Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune, so let's segue from there to the processed food and stuff people are eating. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Appreciate your time. I was just reading some of the stories in the Tribune about this. One of them involves a Southside restaurant, right, that is doing was doing curbside pickup, but now they're transitioning over to providing food for healthcare workers. Is that right, Phil?
That's right. Virtue restaurant in Hyde Park, which is probably one of the most important restaurants to open in 2018, has gotten a slew of awards. You know, best new restaurant awards from various national groups, and it started off, according to the chef owner Eric Williams, it started off as a conversation with a doctor saying, "Any way you guys could make some meals that I can bring over back to the hospital for my night shift?" And they said, "Sure," and then it became a thing. He'd already started a GoFundMe program for his workers, and people started kicking in extra money, saying, "Is there anything else we can do?" So he started converting some of that money into paying for the meals he then delivered to the hospitals, and it's gotten to the point they've been raising enough money that he's just decided that's what the restaurant's going to do full time for the time being, at least, bringing meals to at the moment University of Chicago Medical Center and now John Stroger.
You know, you think about all of the people every day need to eat. What have we got?
Right.
300 million people, say three meals a day. So we've somehow in this country got to find a way for 900 million meals a day, say. And a lot of people are food challenged. A lot of people are poor. And a lot of people traditionally eat out once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just let's employ those people. It's an effective way to feed America. This is how we all get food. So
right.
I almost think that this whole conversation needs to be framed a little differently, Phil. It's not just reemploy those people, which is honorable and vital enough. Without restaurants, which are efficient means of delivering food to people, we're going to have trouble just surviving. I don't mean it as cataclysmic as that sounds, but people got to eat. Restaurants are a good way to feed people. Let's do everything we can to get food in there and get people in there and literally prop them up.
Yeah. No, it's a great point, and one of the things that Eric Williams is happiest about in this with the program he's doing now is he's able to employ a good number of his workers, and they're just making money. And at the same time, he said he's not putting himself out there as a hero, but you know it's one less thing that a frontline healthcare worker has to worry about.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which is, what am I going to do for dinner?
Well,
now,
it's ironic.
Okay, dinner's coming.
Yeah. It's kind of ironic, though. I mean, those who are struggling most, it seems, the first ones we knew about were restaurants. And yet now so many of them are donating their own time, services, product to the medical community around the area. You also had a piece that said 80% of the restaurants aren't sure they're going to be able to survive this. I would hope that most of those would eventually be replaced by another batch of restaurants. But is it 80%, Phil?
Well, it was kind of a confidence survey that the James Beard Foundation put out, and they talked to more than 4,000 restaurant owners and asked them, you know, what they thought, and it was very pessimistic. It was only 20% thought that they would be able to come out of this, and it's survival is a complex thing for a restaurant in that it's got to figure out. It has to figure out what kind of restaurant it's going to be when the restrictions. Once they're allowed to open, nobody imagines that restaurants are just going to be. They're going to throw the doors open. There will be. I'm sure that we will impose a lot of restrictions on spacing, on capacity. Those old vinyl menus that used to get handed in old timey restaurants where you'd turn the pages. You're not getting those anymore. You're going to get disposable menus, right? Everything's going to be changing from how they're going to do flatware to how they're going to do napkins and then wondering, fingers crossed, if this is a dining experience that the public is going to pay for. Do you want to go to a restaurant where your waiter is possibly smiling behind that mask and wearing gloves? Is that okay with you? It's okay with me, but we don't know what the general public's going to do.
Well, I have an opinion about that, Phil. Let me pause. I'll share with you. I think that it doesn't have to be that way. I don't think it's going to be that way.
Okay.
Let me tell you why after this. This is WGN. It's 1048. The number is 312-981-7200. We'd love it if here in our talk you wanted to jump in with a question or comment. 312-981-7200. Phil Vitale's on the line, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Phil, I just don't think restaurants can be restaurants where people are wearing masks and PPE and everybody is ridiculously socially distanced. My hope and expectation is, this is maybe more a hope than anything, that we'll have a vaccine, or enough people will have already tested positive and will believe that the antibodies are going to protect them, that we're going to go to restaurants and we're going to sit near one another. Maybe some people won't go. The staff won't be wearing masks, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. But that's the only way it can happen. And people might not come rushing in, but they will come back. It's the only way that can work. And I think the medicine will catch up and make that possible. I don't know if you share my optimism, but that's where my head is right now.
Well, what I hear is the most optimistic hope for a vaccine is maybe a year from now.
Yeah.
If they're fast tracking like nobody's business, because basically if you're working on anything in terms of medical research, you're working on this, or you're not doing anything. So maybe and they will be testing not quite as stringently maybe as they would have for a different kind of vaccine, but I think we will try to roll out the openings of restaurants before that happens. I would love to get us to the point where we can walk around and not have to worry about social distancing and not have to worry about PPE, but I think that might be a year away. And I don't know if we can hang around with no restaurants for a year.
My bet is also, remember St. Patrick's Day when people were crowding into bars and we all lost our minds and then they shut everything down?
Mm-hmm.
Some version of those people are still out there. And when we say you can go back to restaurants, they're going to go back to restaurants. They'll be the tip of the spear. They'll be the first ones back out. And then the rest of us will lollygag in eventually. But there will be people to prop them up just because they're anxious to get out and they want to help.
But then you have to worry about which workers are going to be willing to work under those circumstances.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know of a coffee shop and a restaurant that they slowed down there. They changed the way they were doing business because customers were just crowding in and the employees on the other side of the counter were freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair, Phil. That's an interesting point. Min wanted to say something too. You're on WGN. Hi, Min. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I kind of along the same line. I feel like shouldn't there be somebody or a committee or somebody planning like how we're going to reopen? I mean, we can't stay, you know, in our homes for a year or, you know, till Christmas. I mean, without, you know, give us like, so like each business comes up with a plan, like how they're going to open safely, or there's a committee that approves the plan so that, sort of like what the mayor of Las Vegas was saying. I mean, she's not in the hotel business, but hotel businesses should figure out how they're going to do this safely so that, you know, that will give us some hope of seeing the end of this. I mean, you know, enough of like hiding in our house. We get it. Stay home. But I mean, do we really have to wait for a vaccine, or can't there be, you know, a intelligent, safe plan to come out and start working again? That's my question.
Yeah. What's your thought about that, Phil? You're not
my thought is that, you know, the painful calculus that we have to keep addressing whenever we talk about opening or not opening is how many more cases, how many more deaths we're willing to accept in order to get things things going, because we can't kid ourselves that this won't. If people come crowding into hotels or bars or casinos, as the mayor of Las Vegas suggested, there'll be another spike, and we'll have to shut down again to make sure that our healthcare facilities aren't overwhelmed. I think until there is widespread testing, by which I mean we're testing at three times the rate we are currently able to do, without widespread testing to have a better sense of who's already been exposed, who has antibodies, and do we have some sense of how long they are now immune, until we know these things, mm-hmm. we inadvertently or through whatever, I won't get into blaming just now, but let's honestly, this country, we gave the coronavirus a 3-month head start by being slow to react, being slow to clamp down, being slow to start ramping up the development of and availability of tests and PPE and ventilators and all that. And so now we're playing catch up, and we're coming up with policies, and we still don't have all the information that the policymakers would like to have in order to make those decisions. We don't know how many people are infected. We keep there's no easy test to find out if someone is, until we have enough tests that we can start testing people who have absolutely no symptoms and then have an idea whether they're infected or not. And that's what we need. You can come in if you're not infected, but there's, even without outward signs, we need a test that will be able to clear people for either possessing the antibodies or being free of infection at that moment.
So will Alinea have a sommelier and a tester at the door?
I don't know how they will do it. There talks about that. I don't know. That's one of the decisions.
Will Applebee's have a sommelier? They won't have a sommelier.
No, they
won't.
But
I take Steve's point. And but I do think, that interview with the mayor of Las Vegas was surreal. I was listening to Ro talk about it yesterday, and when I then went back and found it myself, it was crazier than even Ro was making it sound. And while I was reiterating what that mayor said, I wasn't advocating for it. I said it was the perfect statement of where we are, though. Her attitude is a little bit what I'm exploring with you right now, and that is buyer beware. So if we want to open it up, maybe it's not going to be perfect, but if we're willing to do it and you're willing to risk it, and this is when the risk threshold is way, way lower than it is now, right? Like maybe it is where it normally is with the flu. You might get sick if you ever go out, but it's okay. Come on out. When we are there.
I'll be out on the first night.
Will you, Steve?
I got tacos from Taco Vita last night, the pickup. We've been getting a lot of pickup food, and that's people preparing our food. And it's, I just think, and I'm not even cooped up at home.
I think there's a lot of people like you. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people, I think a lot of us are really nervous about it, but not everybody is going to be as afraid to risk it as you are, or Eric Zorn is, or some of the other people I've been talking to about this.
Well, what do you, I guess it's important to know what you're risking. Because people keep thinking, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this and I'm going to risk it. And I think what they say that, they mean I'm going to risk getting the coronavirus because I think my chances are really good. But because we know that you can have the coronavirus and not have any symptoms,
yeah,
and at that time you can infect everybody else, that is the risk we're talking about. How willing are you to risk infecting somebody else and passing something along that they will then inadvertently pass along to somebody else, and how this can multiply?
I know it kind of makes me sound like the bad guy, Phil.
No, that's right. You're not bold. You're irresponsible.
But I'm coming to work every day surrounded by people now that a lot of people aren't, and am doing all of the, the back of my hands are brittle from washing and cleaning up. And so, I've kind of been living in that environment now, I think. So maybe that makes me a little more willing to try it. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
What I got to do, Phil, is just because this has been no fun talking to you today. I got to
get. Sorry. Yeah. We really should have gotten a better topic.
How about the White Sox?
Yeah, how about butterflies? I'm seeing a lot of butterflies. They're so pretty.
I'll tell you, you want to look on the bright side? The air in Los Angeles last week was cleaner than it has been in memory. They calculate the air quality in cities all around the world, and Los Angeles had the cleanest air in the world.
Wow. thanks to all those Pacific breezes and lack of burning any gasoline.
That's it.
Right, and they found dolphins swimming in the Venetian canals.
I saw the video of that. The dolphins are like, we're cool with this. All right,
one satiric website also added that three white rhinos were spotted in downtown Manhattan. So even they're coming back.
I'm hanging up on you now. Goodbye, Phil Vitale.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much, Phil. We always appreciate your thoughts.
He's the guy who bought a panda because there was one left.
It's 10:58. The news is coming.